Let's turn to Lamentations, chapter 3. We began a new chapter, and we studied, took a little bit of the first few verses last time, but just read them. The three verses, 1, 2, and 3 from Lamentations, chapter 3. I title this God's Judgment Because of Sin. Right, beginning of verse 1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Who's the author of Lamentations? Jeremiah, that's right. And the man that has seen affliction. What, how, yes, Anna?
But God, it was inspired by God.
Yes, did I say author? I should say writer. That's the author? Who's the writer? See, the writer is Jeremiah, but the author of all the scriptures, God, isn't he? The Lord, and God, the Holy Spirit, leads and guides and directs. The man that has seen affliction. What is affliction? Is it pleasant? Is it bad? Is it good? Is it sometimes good, sometimes bad? Well, is it? Or is it? Both, sometimes bad. If the affliction leads us to the proper thing that we should do, it's good. If it doesn't, it's bad. Initially, it's always harmful. Well, at least we think it's harmful to us, but is it? Yes, Anna? What is it?
Well, 28.
28? All things work together for good? Yes, that's true. And so it can work together. The spanking or the discipline of our children that we love, it isn't a help, or at least it's not a pleasant thing for the children, but as they respond to that, it can lead to a better life and a more obedient life to the things of the Lord. So affliction is not always harmful if the Lord is behind it. Now, who put this affliction on Jeremiah in verse 1? Who's it? The Lord himself, God himself, by the rod of his wrath. In what way is the Lord wrathful, and why? Is he wrathful? Does he have wrath? Does the Lord Jesus Christ have wrath? Yes? Against sin. Always against sin. Remember in the Revelation, they hid themselves in rocks and crevices, and the mountains fall on us for the wrath of the Lamb. So it's a time when judgment comes. Nobody likes to be in that condition. But the affliction I have seen, I am the man that has seen affliction. Now in verse number 2, it's a little bit depressing, isn't it? Jeremiah is somewhat depressed. What does he say in verse 2? It's, first of all, it's something good, that first phrase, isn't it? He brought me, that's good, that's fine. He led me, I mean, it's nice, he led me and brought me, but where did he lead him and where did he bring him? Darkness, not into the light. Sometimes we must go through the valley of the shadow of death, and David still said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so the whole nation of Israel, and Judah especially, the two tribes, was brought into darkness, but it's because of their sin, because of their wickedness. Then in verse 3, he took it personally, didn't he? What did he say of the Lord in this verse? What did the Lord do to him? Turned from me against me, turned against me, didn't he? And his hand against me all the day. So he could see. Now that's what Job said, wasn't it? Remember, Job said, he's against me, he's smitten me, and Job was under the chastening of God. But who was behind Job's affliction? Satan, that's right. Satan said, you consider Job thy servant, smite him, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said, all right, I will give you permission, authority to do that. So he did. It was under God's permissive will, but it was Satan that did the chastising and disciplining and hurting of Job. But did Job falter, or did he come through all right? He came through all right. Though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust in him. That's right. What did his wife counsel? Curse God and die. And he didn't take her counsel. Do sometimes wives give good counsel, sometimes bad counsel? Sometimes husbands give good counsel, sometimes bad counsel? That's exactly right. So, never? Well, there's a wife that realizes the husband never gives bad counsel. So she's saying, of course. All right, let's read verse number 4, 5, and 6 together. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. Right, so his flesh, what was his struggle with his flesh? Made it old. And what happens when the skin gets old? What is it? It gets wrinkled. And what is the new remedy for wrinkles? Botox, all right. Jeremiah had nothing to do with that, with wrinkles. Now, what is another thing that's makes the people wrinkle up especially strong? The sun. We hear all the, Anna? You get a bath too long, yes, you get wrinkled up and wizened up and wrinkled up, that's right. Too long a bath, but that's not as permanent as sun, though, isn't it? And so, just yesterday, there was a man on television about the sunscreen, different things, you know, what to prevent. So, what about the tanning parlors? Are those safe? No, they wrinkle up too. They get just as bad. So this man, who is a dermatologist, a skin doctor, said, stay away from those tanning salons. Salons. I don't know whether they got any drink in there or not. Salons. With one hole instead of two. It says stay away from the sun. And they asked about the sun guard, you know, different things and so on. And he said the thing about it is, it says right on the bottle, you have to put it on 2 hours before you go out into the sun. And every 2 hours you got to put on a complete new thing on. People never do it anyhow. See? So it doesn't really protect you. Well, I was a Navy chaplain, but I was a lifeguard and swimming instructor for many, many years in the early days when I was younger. And I was out in the sun a lot. And because of that, my dermatologist found several spots in my back and thought of skin cancer. He removes them, you know. I mean, not complete cancer, but I mean, almost getting to that direction. So, sun is bad, but he is against me, and he's my flesh and my skin have to be made old. Yes, Ma? Uh-huh. These lines here, yes. Really? Take those lines out and the pressure flees away. Is that right? Your whole attitude. The time is lacking. Oh, here's a comment on that one. Okay. Hello.
Yes, Dr. Wages, Pastor Maynard, I had a question about the verses that you're reading.
Yes, go ahead. Pastor Maynard.
It's risen at this time, and it's this as far as the difficult things that are happening, as far as the stress and things that are happening as a result of them being there.
Yes, I probably think that's true. There's distress in the captivity and so on. Yes, that's a good question, Pastor, and we'll discuss that. Yes, thank you. Yes, that's probably because under the circumstances of slavery and the deprivation and various other things, and diet that's bad there in Babylon, he's having some real difficulties and darknesses there and so on. Oprah yesterday in her broadcast had a whole big series on the death camps, the Nazi Germany death camps, a horrible, horrible reconstruction. This man who was is he a doctor or a lawyer? I forget which. I think he's a doctor. He took her through all the Auschwitz and every stage of what happened. He was a young boy then. He escaped. Very, very few people escaped. They lied. They said, oh, come on, we're just going to take all your clothes off. We're going to have showers. We're going to have a shower. It's fine. And then they put them in the gas chambers, locked the doors, and then after they died, they took them into the incinerators, burned their bodies, and then put them in a big grave. Terrible, terrible thing. But the persecution was terrible. And the people, this man told Oprah all about it. It's a sad thing. But captivity is not easy. And certainly the Nazis were not friends by any means of those that they were trying to kill. But now let me ask you this question. My skin hath been made old. What's the alternative of getting old? Death, that's right. So, that's true. Now, should saved people fear death? No, that's the only way we get to heaven. I mean, unless the Lord Jesus will return, all right? Death is the passageway to glory. And we want to live for the Lord as long as we can, want to live for the Lord and serve Him and witness for others. But we must remember that every single one of us, except unless the Lord should return and take us away in the rapture, everyone will pass that portal. And we've got to be prepared. And sure, we get old. That's fine. That's what life is all about. Starting with Adam all the way down, because that was a penalty for sin, was it? He's got me old, then broken my bones. Whether that's literal, physical, or spiritual, he's broken my bones. In other words, he's... Now, when you get older, sometimes it's easy to break bones, isn't it? I don't know how old Jeremiah was this time. As I say, spiritual breaking or physical, but osteoporosis. Is that it? Osteoporosis? That's a brittle bones, am I right? And bones get a little brittle, and it's easy when you fall. And that's why elderly people, that they trip and fall sometimes, break a hip. Break a bone or two. And so then in verse number 5, there are two dimensions that Jeremiah mentions here. What's the first dimension? Sort of a dimension. Building against him. So that would be pushing against him, sort of a building a wall of some kind. What's the second dimension? Compass. That means what? What does compassing mean? Going around, completely circulating all the way around, circulating all the way around in a circle with gall and travail. What is gall? Bitter. Yeah, it could be the gallbladder, that's right. And gall is a sort of a poison of some kind. I think it was either Shelley or Keats wrote a poem. He died, you know, in the second or third stage of syphilis. He was a terrible, wicked man. Shelley or Keats, I don't know. He says, maybe it was Lord Byron. Maybe it was Byron. I guess it was Byron. My life is in the yellow leaf, and all before us bitterness and gall. So he used this word gall in his life because as he was dying. So he's a poet. I think it was Lord Byron. Lord Byron. But the gall. What did the Lord get at the crucifixion? What did they give him or try to give him? Vinegar and wasn't it gall? We'll have to check on that. I think it was better. It was vinegar. I think it was vinegar and gall. I think it was, but I'm not sure. I thought it was gall, but let's have to have Anna check on that in Matthew chapter 25 and 6. Did the Lord take this vinegar? Why did they give him the vinegar on the cross? By the way, we know it was vinegar. We know that was. Why did he not take it? To ease the pain. Did he receive it? No. Why did he not? Do you think? Going to take all the pain and suffering. But which was greater suffering? The physical or the spiritual? Spiritual. What was there about the spiritual that was a great, great, serious thing to the Lord Jesus? What was it like? They rejected him. That's true. What was it? The wrath of God. And why was the wrath of God against the Lamb of God? The sins of the world were taken upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin, a sin offering for us. We by faith might be righteous of God, being made righteous in him. So that was the terrible thing. He knew nothing of sin. That was all the sins and wickedness and filthiness of all mankind taken upon himself. So he compassed me and surrounded me and he built it against me. And then in verse 6, what about the surroundings where he was? What were his surroundings like? Yes, dark places, all right. In other words, a lot of times the prisoners and those have not too much light, especially in the dark of the night. It's all black and dark in wherever they kept these prisoners in Babylon. But could be spiritual darkness, but probably physical darkness. He set me in dark places as they would be dead of old. Are there any lights in a tomb? No. We go by that, whatever you call that place, right over on Cuthbert Boulevard. What do you call those places? Mausoleum. That's a good word. Thank you, back then. You go to that mausoleum, and my wife and I say, but there's not a single light in there. You think they probably advertise and put nothing. Well, the point is, the dead people don't need any light, so dark places like the place of the dead, it's a real sort of a gruesome thing. But, yes, Anna, and then I'll get to the but. Go ahead, Anna. Uh-huh. Yes, at least at the resurrection, the glory of God. Let me see, was the angels? Light? I'm trying to think. There was a light, I think, at his birth, the shepherds, was there not? I remember, there's at the birth, but there. I know there are two angels in shining apparel that appeared at the tomb. I think it was shining apparel, wasn't it right? Shining apparel, and where is the Lord? He's not here, he's risen. Come see the place of the Lord. So in that case, Yvonne, did you have something back there?
Yes, I know. I had it there. I was in one before
I was in the
end.
Oh, all right. Mingled with Gaul. I finally I did remember. Mingled with Gaul, or the dead in the pain. She's dead in the pain of that. But as far as the deadness, they didn't have any lights at all in those mausoleums. And it's a sad, it's a depressing type of thing. Yet, here's what I was going to do before I raise your question. Yet you go by the funeral parlors where there's a funeral. Lights, all kinds of lights in the windows and so on, all the things, because they want to have light as if there's not really darkness and death, and so everything is peaceful and kind of and fine. Am I right? Every time you go by a funeral parlor, they got big lights and glorified things, so it's peaceful. Yes, Anna? In the funeral parlor? Was that not, Anna? I couldn't get the whole drift. But there's no light in where, honey? Okay. The funeral parlor. Well, not in the casket, not in the tomb, but there's light in the actual place where they have the services. So they be as they that be dead of old. Let's read verse 7, 8, and 9 together. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone, that made my paths crooked. Find verse number 7. Now we have what type of a thing that's surrounding him here?
A hedge.
There's stone hedge. Is that what they call it over in England somewhere? Which is a sort of a devilish thing, but they got all these hedges. The hedges. You have the hedgerows. You see, sometimes people have these bushes for fences, wherever they go. In fact, when we were over there in Northern in Ireland, all kinds, they didn't have the fences. They had the real tight-knit brambles of some kind for fences so that the cattle couldn't get out. It's interesting. And here, Jeremiah says, he's hedged me about. Strong, whatever the bushes were, and he has hedged me that I cannot get out. And what about the chain? It's heavy, and sometimes prisoners are in chains. Did Paul have any chains on him? Yes, he had a chain. And I don't know if they put any chains on the Lord Jesus, but he was a prisoner. They may have. He was under the Roman guard. But Paul had the chains, and did Peter have any chains? Remember where Peter was put in prison? The chains fell off, and the Lord just worked a miracle, and the prison doors opened. And this is what happened. And I think in the case of Paul also, in Acts chapter 16, the prisoners were there, and the doors were open, and the chains were loosed, and what did the guard want to do because the prisoners were going to flee? Going to kill himself, because the Romans would have killed him. And so, do thyself no harm. We're all here. He's called for light and sprang in. I think that's what it says. Call for light and sprang in. He was just springing and stepping out. So, we're not here. We're all here to do thyself no harm. So, he made his chains heavy. And notice also in verse number 8, what about prayer and crying out? Did Jeremiah pray? Yes, he did. And he cried and shouted to the Lord. But what did he think happened as far as his prayer? So now, that could be in his own feeling, but when does the Lord shut out prayer? Sin shuts it out. Remember in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, because of your sins, I'm going to make the heaven above and the ceilings above with brass so that I cannot hear. You can't get through to me because of sin. And so in some cases, that's the case. Now, whether Jeremiah just felt that the Lord couldn't hear or whether the Lord didn't hear, I'm certain that whoever is able to hear, at least from his standpoint, shuts out my prayer. If the Lord doesn't answer prayer, sometimes you think it's shut off, am I right? But does he answer immediately our request? No, he does not. Sometimes he never answers except no. Or sometimes he answers maybe. Sometimes he answers not now. All different kinds of answers. Well, those are answers, not necessarily the positive answers, am I right? But we've got to keep praying. And then in verse 9 again, what's he doing? You see all these build against me in verse 5. Covers me with gall and travail in verse 5. He hedges me about with hedges in verse 7. And now, what's he done in verse 9? With stone. Now, which kind of enclosure would be stronger? Hedges or stone? Stone. And so this, he's really close in. He feels oppressed. Really pressed in. Oppressed. That's what it means, isn't it? Oppressed. Pressed in. With hewn stone. What does hewn mean? What is it? Cut out with hands and just smashes on. So, and there again, we saw a lot of stone fences over Northern Ireland. And we see some over here in this country too, but fences made of stone. He's compassed me about and turned me about and closed my ways. Yeah, Anna?
Well, stone fences
are
made of stone.
And yes, we got some stone fences there. That's good. And now, notice, he says, enclosed what? Now, what did he enclose in verse 9? My ways. What's the difference between himself and his ways? What does Psalm 119:105 say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. So the path, the ways, there we go, see? In other words, we can stand here, we have light for my feet, but also a light as we travel. So his ways, talks about his ways. He has enclosed his ways. With you. In other words, if a way that you want to travel is closed with hewn stone, you can't travel. It's a dead end. And that's what he's saying. And sometimes we feel like there's a dead end, but that's what Jeremiah felt. Then what about his paths? Crooked. There are crooked paths better than straight paths, or straight paths better than crooked paths? It's better than straight. It's a line of straight. Sometimes roads are straight, sometimes they're crooked. Why are they crooked roads? Because Anna?
Because
it's what?
Because it's New Jersey.
Because it's New Jersey? Sometimes paths are crooked, but what is the reason? Like, that's true. Sometimes a lot of crooked paths. Why is it sometimes roads are curved and crooked? Around things. And sometimes the farmer didn't want to sell. And so the people that I like in college were making him sell, throw him out the house and so eminent domain. That wasn't popular in those early days. And so the farmer didn't want to sell. Right? If you turn left and go straight, and you've got a great crooked path. But our paths should be straight. And this is what the Lord would have us. And his paths are made crooked. Let's read verses 10, 11, and yeah,
Bob? Some paths are purposely curved, like if you're going up down a mountain.
How does the poem go? I met a crooked man, walked a crooked mile, a crooked house, a crooked cat. Crooked dog. Now, who wrote that poem? It's just in my mind. So I'm somebody of a crooked man. But see, what do we call a man who is dishonest? Crooked. Why do you suppose that's the name that we give a dishonest person?
Straight.
Pardon me?
Straight.
He's not straight. Okay. And so the crookedness of people is a terrible thing. Let's read verses 10, 11, and 12 together. Oh, excuse me. What is it?
And of course, I'm
going to get skills. Yes, I'm a crook, don't we? And sometimes we use another expression, a different meaning for that crook, and that is by hook or by crook. Oh, I guess that's the same expression. What does that mean? I will get my way by hook or by crook. What does that mean?
Disarmament.
Probably, maybe it is. But in the Psalm 23, by rod and thy staff they comfort me. Now, there's a rod and a staff. What does a shepherd's crook look like? That's another kind of a crook. What does that look like? Why is that crook? Why is it crooked at the end? Have the sheep, if he's fallen down, pulling him up and so on. So we need sometimes that crook that the Lord has for us to lift us up out of the places where we've fallen down. And he's a gracious shepherd, is he not? All right, let's read the verse number 10, 11, and 12 together. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for his arrow. Right in verse number 10, two animals are mentioned here. Which is more ferocious and why? A lion, okay. And? Which lion are you talking about?
In what cages?
Cases? Well, can either one kill? Yes, just recently read a story about a bear that is slain a person. I don't know where it was. I don't even remember. We read that or heard it on television somewhere. Just came.
A bear followed a woman into her house.
Is that right?
Yes, and she was right on top of her and kicking my daughter.
Oh my. Sad thing, isn't it? I remember the bear story that Wilson Hanline told us.
Oh, yeah.
He's out there reading somewhere, and he's out there in Minnesota, is it Michigan?
Yeah, I think it's Minnesota.
Minnesota. He used to go for, you know, for vacations. He was out there reading, and he heard something in the back, and I thought maybe it was his wife coming along, and he talking along. All of a sudden, he turned around as a bear. Boy, did he get out of there fast. So, as a bear. Now, which is more stealthy, a bear or a lion? Which is more secret, stealthy, secret? A lion, they kind of creep up, like any cat would, you know, before they get on the prey. So, on the one hand, a bear, they just big. But be careful of those bears. They look right up in there, but they'll just one cuff and you're dead. And they know where to go, right to the jugular vein, right to the neck. And they will just kill you in an instant. But he says that he was unto me as a bear, lying in wait, ready to pounce as a lion in secret places. What would be the advantage of a lion in secret places? Advantage to the lion, not advantage to us. It's hiding. It's like the policeman hiding behind a rock. You don't see him. If you're not going the proper speed, they'll catch you. See? That's why I always push that button for that. What do you call those? Governors? What are they? Cruise control, yes. I know exactly what the speed is. I push that thing and they don't have to worry. I just go ahead and drive, see? And you see policemen all the time. My wife says, oh, there's a policeman. It's all right, just keep driving because I know that that's set right. You don't have to worry about it. Yes, Anna?
Well, what if you come to a
work zone? A work zone. Then you got to push it, put it on the brake and slow down. That's right. And sometimes that's the case. But at secret places. Then in verse 11, notice again, he's turned aside my ways. Is that always bad? Our ways always the way we should go? We should go in the right way. Sometimes the Lord turns us aside and doesn't let us go there. Remember Paul when he wanted to go to a certain place and way up in Galatia? It's the wrong map here, but up in Galatia, and the Lord stopped him and said, no, turn somewhere else and go over to Europe, and that's what happened. So the Lord turned aside my ways. And then in verse 11, what else did the Lord do to him? Pull him in pieces, maybe desolate. I'm sure that would be spiritual pieces, just tearing him apart. What do I do now? Jeremiah wanted his people to repent and get back to the Lord and to stop being in captivity, but they didn't do it. So he was a wreck. He was often, as it were, he was very disappointed and very upset, wasn't he? Because his people said, give up?
And I agree.
I think he was. Jeremiah was fine. Ezra and Nehemiah. Jeremiah was there. Ezekiel was there. Yes. It mentions Jeremiah and 70 years prophecy right there in Jeremiah and in 2 Chronicles. As prophesied by Jeremiah, they were in captivity for 70 years.
And
that is sad. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar stole the vessels of the temple, and Cyrus and Darius the Mede gave them back. It's interesting, because the Medo-Persia Empire conquered Babylon, conquered Nebuchadnezzar, and gave back what Nebuchadnezzar had stolen. It's interesting in Ezra. Let's stop right here, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? All right, if not, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can look at these scriptures. We thank you for Prophet Jeremiah, who was true and honest and straight. Keep us straight in what we do and what we say, Lord. Each one of us gathered here tonight, as we read thy word, as we ask thee for guidance on our paths, lead us in the right paths, so that thou dost not have to turn us as Jeremiah. Give us freedom, Lord. Give us light from thy word, and keep us free in our country. We thank you that we can study thy word in our church tonight, and we can be free on the Lord's Day to preach thy word without the police knocking on the door, putting us in prison, as many times in China has happened even today. Guide us and direct us this week. Be with those listening by other means and those that are gathered here. May our Savior be glorified by each one of us as we look for him. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I thank you for coming.